NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, Holly McVie. Und sie kommt aus England und sie wird bei uns live ein paar Songs spielen. Und sie kommt gleich zu Wort. Aber erstmal Musik von ihrem Debütalbum Golden Eagle. Hier ist jetzt Heartbreak Blues. Das war so Heartbreak Blues von dem Album Golden Eagle, das Debütalbum von Holly McVie. Und sie ist bei mir jetzt im Studio. Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, very good, thanks.
I'm glad you could make it. And you managed to survive the mad weather, the incredible
yeah,
rainfall in Berlin and Hamburg, yeah.
It got quite wet, but yeah.
And the guitar didn't get wet, it was in the case. So, yeah,
okay. It's in the hard case, so
that's very good.
It's okay.
Well, you come from the north of England, so you're used to kind of quite poor weather, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm used to it, yeah. I quite like the rain, actually, from time to time.
Okay, right. And of course, you grew up in a small village in the north of England, in Yorkshire, which is not exactly kind of like a mainstream rock and roll address, obviously. And do you think actually that probably had an influence on the fact that you didn't just come up with a very typical modern sounding pop record, but something which maybe sounds a bit more timeless?
I grew up around a lot of countryside and open space, and I think that was very inducive to my songwriting. But also I grew up with a family who listened to a lot of old classic music and good songwriters, and I was just surrounded by it as a child and must have soaked it up, and
Sie sagte, sie, weil sie in einem kleinen Dorf in der Grafschaft Yorkshire aufgewachsen ist, dann hat sie natürlich schon eine gewisse so Erziehung genossen. Also die Landschaft der Gegend hat eine große Rolle gespielt. Es gab einfach viel Raum, viel offener, sehr viel Platz, als vielmehr, als wenn sie in einer Großstadt aufgewachsen wäre. Und das hat auf jeden Fall ihre Musik geprägt. Und dann ist sie in einer Familie aufgewachsen, die sehr viel Wert auf niveauvolle Songwriter gelegt hat. Insofern hat sie sehr viel, sehr interessante und anspruchsvolle Songwriter-Musik konsumiert, als sie ein Kind war. Und das hat sie auf jeden Fall so beeinflusst. Und das hören wir jetzt auf diesem Album. I mean, it is a great collection of songs. I don't want to flatter you on Julie, but for a debut album, it is a really good collection of songs, I think. And
thank you.
I mean, how long did it take to put together? I mean, how far does it go back into your past? I mean, to your young teenage years. When did you actually start writing songs?
Well, I've been writing songs since I was about 10 or 11.
Right.
But of course, these are not that old.
Right. Okay.
I think since that age, I've just written a lot of songs and just discarded a lot of them, and I think the oldest one on there is a couple of years, maybe it's about 3 years old now. So before that I just got rid of a lot of songs, and they were all written, you know, within a year or so.
Okay. And was it kind of the cliche scenario where people don't get stressed out about the debut album because it's all so instinctive and you're not under the pressure that you are at a later stage? And did it seem like a very, very kind of tranquil process in that sense?
It did. I was just writing these songs for me, really. I don't think I had a very specific aim. I just wanted to. They were just songs that came out of me at that time. And I guess the second album is a little bit of a different thing because you have a bit more pressure. But I'm working on new songs at the moment and quite excited about the next one as well.
Yeah, and you're not actually feeling unduly pressurised at the moment?
No, luckily not yet.
Okay.
I might do in 6 months' time.
We'll worry about that when the time comes,
yeah.
Ja, das erste Album ist entstanden natürlich, als sie sehr jung war, logischerweise. Sie ist immer noch sehr jung, sie ist noch 21. Sie hat angefangen, Songs zu schreiben, als sie 10 oder 11 war. Aber es sind keine richtig alten Songs auf dem Album. Das älteste Lied ist 3 Jahre alt. Insofern sind sie relativ neu. Und es stimmt tatsächlich, dass sie sehr entspannt entstanden ist. Sie hat nicht das Gefühl gehabt, unter Druck zu stehen. Es ist auch so beim Debütalbum, dass man natürlich letztendlich nicht so unter Druck steht. Und das kommt erst später mit dem Druck und mit der so stressigen Leben, weil er dann eine gewisse Erwartungshaltung später dabei ist. Und das ist im Moment nicht der Fall gewesen für das erste Album. Und sie ist aber schon dabei, das neue Album zu schreiben, und sie ist schon ganz aufgeregt und sie freut sich schon. Im Moment fühlt sie sich noch relativ entspannt, also sie fühlt sich noch nicht so richtig unter Druck gesetzt. Aber sie hat natürlich nur gerade angefangen. And Was the motivation right from the word go very clear to you when you started actually writing this? I mean, was it, I mean, as a young person, obviously it's going to be easy to get yourself motivated, but and was never any doubt in your mind that this is going to be your vocation, kind of long term? Did it feel like that when you started?
Yeah, there's never really been any doubts with me when it comes to music. It's just something that I've always done very naturally. Because I grew up with a family who were also musicians, my granddad was a professional composer and my mum is actually a music therapist. I had instruments around me all the time. So as a child, it was just very natural to go and sit down at the piano and try and write a song. And I was very supported by my family as well, which helped a lot. So, yeah, I didn't have any doubts. I just went for it.
Right, OK. So there was no kind of rebelling against your parents wanting you to become a lawyer or anything like that?
No, I was very lucky in that respect, yeah. I know a lot of musicians do have to deal with that.
Yeah. OK. Ja, sie sagt, dass sie aus einer Familie stammt, die sehr musikalisch ist. Also ihr Großvater, er war ein professioneller Komponist und ihre Mutter ist eine Musiktherapeutin. Und deshalb hatte sie immer natürlich sehr viel Inspiration. Sie ist sehr stark unterstützt worden. Es gab immer viele Instrumente zu Hause und sie konnte einfach rumspielen und sie konnte ihren Weg so finden. Und es war ein ganz natürlicher Prozess. Und sie weiß, dass es viele Leute gibt, die dann das Problem haben, dass sie rebellieren müssen gegen ihr Elternhaus, weil das Elternhaus will, dass man Akademiker wird oder irgendwas Seriöses macht. Aber in diesem Fall natürlich als Musikerfamilie. Sie haben sie dann wirklich voll unterstützt. Do you think the idiom of what you do, I mean, it's early days yet, and who knows what you're going to be doing in 10 years' time musically, but does the idiom matter really that much to you? I mean, it's obviously, there's a country feel to a lot of the songs, folk and even a bit of jazz here and there, but I mean, does the idiom really matter to you at the end of the day? Is it just about how good the song is, do you think? Or how does it, do you think in terms of this has got to sound in this particular kind of way? Or is it just about the quality of the song first and foremost?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just a big fan of sort of classic songwriting, whether it's in, you know, a jazz song or a blues song or a country song, or, you know. I just think at the time of writing this album, I think I was listening to a lot of country music. So that definitely came out in there. But I am very much up for just experimenting and seeing where, you know, life takes me with my music. And I think already I can sense a little bit of a change in direction in my next album. But it still hopefully has that kind of classic feel.
It's not going to be a drastic change. It's not going to be industrial hardcore.
No, it's not going to be. Right. Not this time.
Maybe in 10 years, yeah. Ja, okay. Ja, sie sagt, dass sie tatsächlich viel von Country-Musik geprägt worden ist, was dieses Album betrifft, weil sie einfach in der Zeit, bevor das Album entstanden ist, sehr viel Country-Musik gehört hat. Und das mag sie schon sehr gerne. Aber letztendlich geht es für sie, ist der Maßstab einfach, wie gut der Song wirklich ist, ob es Jazz oder Blues oder Country ist, ist dann eigentlich egal. Aber das ist einfach so diese Phase, in der sie jetzt sich befindet, wo Country-Musik einfach so wichtig für sie ist. Aber sie sagte jetzt, was das neue Album betrifft, das natürlich noch nicht fertig ist, es ist noch in Arbeit. Sie hat schon festgestellt, dass es langsam sich ein bisschen verschiebt. Also sie schon, fängt schon an, ein bisschen zu experimentieren. Und sie weiß nicht, wie es dann sein wird in einigen Jahren. Es ist einfach so weit, so gut. So you're going to play a song for us live now. And it's the latest single, known as The Answers.
Yes.
Which I think is an interesting song lyrically as well, because it's kind of like a religious search in it and childhood reminiscing. It's very romantic, but still a lot of depth to it as well, I think.
Yeah, I was. I think it's I was going through a bit of an existential crisis when I wrote that song.
Okay. Ja, sie hat ein bisschen so eine Krise durchgemacht, seelisch, als sie dieses Stück geschrieben hat. Und das wird für uns live spielen jetzt. Es ist Holly McVie, live bei uns im Studio mit No One Has the Answers.
Has been my summer by try so hard to stay alive when nothing ever seemed to satisfy. My best friend was a homeless man with a beard to hide his face. Set me free, but no one has the answers. Oh, no one has any answers at all. The sky was blue and the sun was out, whilst I hid from the world. Laughter screamed through the window panes, and all my toes would curl. Oh, I wanted nothing
So das war No One Has The Answers, live eingespielt für uns im Studio bei Holly McVie, und sie ist bei mir im Studio. Ihr Debütalbum heißt Golden Eagle. And when it comes down to the lyrics, I mean, is it, I mean, they're obviously, as I said, they seem to have quite a lot of depth to them, but, I mean, is that important to you to kind of maintain that kind of standard, or is it just more or less what is necessary at the time? I mean, could you envisage writing completely frivolous lyrics? I mean, is it almost like of moral value to you to actually get some kind of depth in there?
Yes. I am very kind of lyrically focused, and it is important for me to write something that I'm sort of, I don't know, happy with myself. I don't know in 10 years' time or whatever, I might be more interested in just the sound, or I guess I'm not sure yet, but at the moment, I'm still very lyrically focused.
And of course, do you think because you've started off only just recently, I mean, you're going to have lots of ideas in your mind about how to express your feelings in terms of lyrics. Do you think it's actually possibly easy for you now because everything's still so fresh? I mean, do you think when you kind of settle down maybe or get married, have kids, you could get too conservative? I mean, do you think that often does happen to songwriters when they're older? I mean, is it important to try to kind of keep this edge that you have now?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I was a little bit nervous when I started writing new songs after this record, because actually those songs, I was in quite a dark sort of vulnerable place when I was writing those songs, and I think that comes across in the record, and I think I was actually a bit nervous that I was not going to be able to. I was actually in a good place in life and worried that I was reliant on being sad and a bit depressed to write the songs. But I think I'm finding ways to get inspiration through other people and other situations. And I like observing people a lot, and a lot of my inspiration comes from that.
Ja, sie sagt, dass die Songs, als sie entstanden sind, es war so ein Zeitpunkt in ihrem Leben, als sie ziemlich depressiv war. Sie fühlte sich sehr verwundbar und sie hatte ziemlich viele düstere Gedanken. Und sie meinte, das ist eine Stärke der Songs eigentlich, also weil es tatsächlich so ihre seelische Verfassung damals sehr gut dokumentiert hat. Aber dann, als das Album schon draußen war, hat sie festgestellt, ihr geht es eigentlich besser und sie hat jetzt eine gute Phase. Und sie hat sich Sorgen gemacht, dann ist sie vielleicht auf diese depressive Gedanken und Traurigkeit angewiesen, um überhaupt gute Songs zu schreiben. Was ist, wenn sie nicht traurig genug ist, um was Vernünftiges auf die Reihe zu kriegen? Aber sie hat schon bemerkt, dass sie nicht auf diesen seelischen Zustand angewiesen ist für Inspiration. Sie hat schon eine sehr gute Beobachtungs sie hat so die Fähigkeit, sehr gut zu beobachten, andere Menschen zu beobachten. Und sie denkt, dass es auch eine ganz wichtige Quelle ist. Es geht nicht nur um sie, sondern es geht auch natürlich darum, also im Prinzip die Menschen, mit denen sie zu tun hat. Und diese Wechselwirkung quasi, diese zwischenmenschliche Wechselwirkung. And is there a song which you think on the album is the most, in that sense, the most kind of melancholic, where you say you're in this kind of vulnerable place? Is there a song which kind of is so personal where you think it's almost like, almost too close to the bone? Or do you actually feel comfortable with them all in that respect?
I think I feel comfortable with them all now. I think the more I've had to perform, you know, I've had to perform these songs a lot of times now, and, you know, they've become something, I don't really feel like the same person as what I was when I was writing the songs, so I just sort of I've stepped outside of them a little bit, and they're just what they are.
Okay. Ja, sie hat nicht das Gefühl, dass die Songs irgendwie zu persönlich sind. Also sie hat schon das geschafft, einen gewissen Abstand von denen zu nehmen. Sie hat sie schon sehr, sehr häufig gespielt und es ist auch eine Weile her. Und sie hat natürlich eine gewisse Distanz gewonnen. Natürlich sind sie auch noch echt und authentisch. Aber es ist nicht so, dass sie sich Sorgen machen muss, dass sie irgendwie, dass sie zu sensibel darauf reagiert dann, also wenn sie die Songs spielt. Right, so we're going to hear another song which you're going to play for us live now, which was, I think, the very first single, is that right? The Corner of My Mind?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Which goes back to when, 2 years ago?
Yes, I think it was released 2 years ago and written maybe 3 years ago. That right. was one of the first ones.
That was one of the first ones.
Yeah.
And does it seem like an eternity ago now? Or does it just seem like yesterday?
Yeah, kind of both. I'm not really sure. It feels like it has been around for a while, that song, but
yeah, and has your relationship to that song changed now as well? Because that was like the very first gesture for the public.
Yeah. It's quite an important song for me. It was the first one that Simon Raymond, who owns Bella Union, it's the first one he heard. It was quite important.
And you met in a cafe, is that right?
We did, yeah.
He discovered you in a cafe.
Yes. I was working as a chef in a vegetarian cafe in Brighton, and he was a customer, and I made him scrambled eggs on toast every day, and well, maybe not every day.
But weren't you in the kitchen if you were the chef then?
Yeah, I was working in the kitchen.
And he went into the kitchen to talk to you?
Well, no, he would be sat at the bar in the cafe, and I'd come and chat to him, and we sort of became friends, and actually he didn't really hear anything, any of my music, for about a year or so after I met him, and then he did, and then it kind of went from there.
Right, okay. Ja, sie wird gleich wieder ein Stück für uns spielen, The Corner of My Mind. Das war ihre allererste Single vor 2 Jahren. Das Lied ist 3 Jahre alt. Und das Lied hat natürlich für sie schon eine besondere Bedeutung, weil es quasi der erste Schritt war. Und sie ist von Simon Raymond von Bella Union entdeckt worden, von dem Label Bella Union. Er war früher bei den Cocteau Twins natürlich. Und er hat sie kennengelernt in einem Café in Brighton, wo sie als Köchin gearbeitet hat. Sie hat ihm jeden Tag Rührei gemacht, jeden Morgen. Und sie kamen ins Gespräch häufiger und haben sich angefreundet. Aber erst ein Jahr später hat er überhaupt ihre Musik gehört und war ganz begeistert. Und jetzt ist das Album auf dem Bella Union Label erschienen, also Golden Eagle von Holly McVie. Und sie spielt dieses Lied von uns jetzt live, The Corner of My Mind. So das war The Corner of My Mind von Holly McVie, live angespielt für uns hier von dem Album Golden Eagle. Yeah, well, thanks for that. It's interesting because you got a guy from Lanterns of the Lake to produce the album. And I was thinking, is that possibly the reason why, although the music is obviously traditional music, that it's something, I think, quite modern sounding about it?
Yeah.
What did he manage to do to make it sound modern? It doesn't actually sound like an old country record, I think. It sounds like a new country, you know what I mean?
Which is probably what you wanted. Which is definitely what I wanted. I wanted it to have both of those feels, and he did an amazing job at bringing that in.
Paul Gregory, isn't it?
Paul Gregory, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
He's amazing. But he just, I guess the sounds that he uses, and he's a really amazing mixer as well. So when it came to mixing, it just brought a new life to it completely, and just took it to another level. Yeah, he did a very good job.
And were you familiar with the music of Lanterns of the Lake beforehand?
No, I wasn't. So it was initially when I first signed with Bella Union. Simon just suggested it, and I looked them up and loved what they did, and went to Newcastle for a week. We planned to record the album in a week, and it turned into a year.
Right.
But
and did you have some wild nights out in Newcastle as well?
No, we just drank a lot of tea.
Oh right, I don't believe you.
Much
drinking
more
tea, people from Newcastle. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Newcastle can be a bit of a messy place in that respect.
Yeah, well, it's certainly notorious, isn't it?
But yeah.
So you drank tea for a year with him?
Yes, and became good friends. He's a very, very lovely guy.
Right. Actually, I met him just last year.
Oh, cool.
He was actually in the studio last year, and because they played a gig in Hamburg, and because I had no idea about this record at the time.
Yeah.
And he was probably actually in the process of doing it at the time,
I imagine he must have been.
Yeah, okay.
Mixing it and things, maybe.
Yeah. Well, Paul Gregory from Lanterns of the Lake, er hat das Amportiert und gemixt, und sie ist ganz begeistert von seiner Arbeit. Und ich sagte schon, dass dadurch klingt das Album irgendwie so zeitgemäß. Die Musik ist natürlich sehr traditionsbewusst, aber durch seine moderne Art, um zu mischen und zu produzieren, hat es irgendwie so ein modernes Feeling, finde ich. Und das hat sie auch bestätigt. Das ist auch das, was sie gewollt hat. Und ursprünglich war es gedacht, dass sie nach Newcastle fährt, um das Album in einer Woche zu produzieren, weil sie gedacht haben, es würde ganz schnell gehen. Mit dieser Art von Musik kann man einfach schnell einspielen. Aber daraus wurde ein Jahr. Ein ganzes Jahr haben sie gebraucht, also ganz liebevoll gemacht. Und Newcastle ist dafür bekannt, dass es ein wilder Ort ist, also was das Nachtleben betrifft. Aber sie meinte, sie sind ganz brav zu Hause geblieben und haben viel Tee getrunken. Ein ganzes Jahr lang haben sie Tee getrunken. So what actually took a year, do you think? I mean, what do you think took a year in that sense?
Well, we ended up re-recording a lot of stuff. Because when I first went into the studio, I actually hadn't toured with the songs at all. And after we started recording the songs initially, I then got some support slots for John Grant and some kind of bigger artists. So I played some really big stages, the biggest stages that I've done. I played the Apollo, I think it was 5,000. And that kind of thing just helped
in
my
Newcastle.
Voice. No, in London.
In London, okay. Right.
Yeah, and I think that kind of thing just helped me project my voice. I was sort of still learning how to project my voice in that way because I'd just been playing small gigs, open mics and things. I think I just learnt the songs. I learnt how to sing them in a bit of a different way. So we re-recorded pretty much everything.
So you were honing your craft, really, with him in Newcastle.
Yeah, so it was worthwhile doing, I think, waiting that long.
Ja, das Album ist deshalb es hat so lange gedauert in Entstehung, ein Jahr, weil sie viele Sachen neu aufgenommen haben, immer wieder neu aufgenommen. Sie meinte, dass sie tatsächlich nicht so viel Übung gehabt hatte als Sängerin und es war einfach notwendig, ein bisschen ihr Handwerk zu lernen und es dann zu beherrschen. Und sie bekam auch die Gelegenheit, öfter im Vorprogramm für größere Künstler aufzutreten, zum Beispiel für John Grant. Ihr größtes Konzert war in dem Apollo in London für 5000 Menschen und das war natürlich eine ganz tolle Übung. Aber deshalb hatte sie es nicht eilig gehabt, das Album fertigzustellen. Sie wollte einfach, dass es schön wird. And is there a reason that it's actually called Golden Eagle? Is there a context there which we should know about?
Yeah, the song Golden Eagle. Well, actually, my grandfather, who I mentioned earlier, he was he passed away a couple of years ago, but was very, very important in my life. He was kind of like a dad figure to me, and he taught me my first tunes on the piano and all of that kind of thing. But that song is all about him. And I just felt like, because of how important he was in my life and me being confident as a musician and doing it as a career, I thought it was just nice to have the album in honour of him, I suppose.
And did he have a lot of faith in you and your potential? Were you aware of that?
He did, yeah. I mean, he was a classical composer, so it was very different. But he loved my music very much, and luckily he did get to hear all of those songs, apart from obviously the one about him.
Oh,
the
right. Well, that's nice, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And we'll hear that track in a minute then, yeah. Verhungleiterstück Golden Eagle, das Titelstück für dem Album. Und das ist ein Song mit großer Bedeutung. Sie hat es für ihren Großvater geschrieben. Und er war eine sehr wichtige Figur für sie, also sehr wichtige Person in ihrem Leben, wie ein Vater eigentlich. Und er war, wie gesagt, das hatte ich schon vorhin gesagt, ein klassischer Komponist gewesen. Und also musikalisch natürlich was ganz anderes, aber er mochte Hollys Song sehr, sehr gerne. Er liebte ihre Musik und er hat auch ihr Potenzial erkannt. Er ist vor 2 Jahren verstorben, hat es leider nicht miterlebt, dass das Debütalbum erschienen ist, aber er hat fast alle Songs, sogar alle Songs kennengelernt, bis auf dieses Stück Golden Eagle natürlich, das sie dann nach seinem Tod für ihn geschrieben hat. Also das Titelstück ist Golden Eagle von Holly McVie, von dem Album Golden Eagle. So, das war Golden Eagle von Holly McVie und sie ist bei mir im Studio. Does just normal pop music just more or less leave you cold? I mean, does it? I mean, do you think it's got worse? I mean, it's interesting because I read somewhere, I was doing some of my homework on you, and that I think your favourite track of all time is It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding by Bob Dylan, which certainly predates you. We're talking about 1965.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you didn't mention a song from 2017 in the interview that I read. Yeah?
No, I don't. I'm kind of quite out of touch with modern music. Yeah, I guess pop music has changed a lot as well. I mean, I guess due to technology and things, a lot of the time nowadays it just seems like maybe it's not as organic. And I think that's why I sort of harp back to the past a little bit, because I enjoy that sort of real kind of honest sound. You know, even if you go back to, like, I'm a fan of the Beatles, and They were obviously, you know, one of the biggest pop bands in the world, but I felt like it was great music, and yeah, maybe that's changed a little bit, what's in the mainstream.
Right. So
I'm sure there's still some good stuff in there.
Yeah. I mean, there must be a reason for you to actually make this kind of music. I mean, you said you listened to the music when you were a kid, because your parents were listening to it, but people often move on and then discover their own music, which their parents don't appreciate.
Yeah.
But you kind of more or less stay with the music you were listening to when you were a child.
Kind of, inspired by your
parents.
Yeah. I mean, I do listen to other things as well. I actually was also a big fan of Michael Jackson growing
up. Oh, right, okay.
So, yeah, that's definitely very pop. But I also think that there was that real sort of classic feel about a lot of his stuff. And I was a big fan of Jackson 5. I guess that is going back. But
yes, almost as far back as Bob Dylan.
Yeah, yeah.
And was there any kind of friction between you and your friends when you were growing up in Yorkshire? Because were they maybe into more just typical modern pop music for young girls, whatever? And did they think you were a bit odd, a bit of an odd bod in that respect? Or were your friends all equally odd bods? Or?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think, you know, I have gone through stages of liking stuff as a young child, as well as that music. I guess it was more like the music that was being played around the house. I just sort of soaked it in, and that's where it became relevant in more recent years when I've been writing songs. Maybe when I was writing songs when I was 11, 12, they were quite different to what they are now.
Yeah, of course. Ja, sie sagt, dass sie nicht so viel zeitgenössische Popmusik hört. Sie denkt, dass die Musik früher war vielleicht organischer, ursprünglicher. Und teilweise ist es so für sie nach ihren Begriffen ein bisschen künstlich geworden durch die moderne Technologie. Und sie legt schon großen Wert auf Musik, die authentisch und ehrlich ist. Aber es gibt schon so Popbands der Vergangenheit, die sie schätzt, wie die Beatles zum Beispiel. Sie war früher ein großer Michael Jackson-Fan und ganz früher dann die Jackson 5-Sachen. Und es ist nicht, als ob sie das komplett ausschließt aus ihrem Leben. Nur es ist die Musik, die wir hören jetzt, was sie spielt, was sie jetzt macht, das ist das, was sie am meisten liebt. Und es ist Musik, die sie, wie gesagt, also mit so Wahrhaftigkeit letztendlich verbindet. Und nun hören wir ein bisschen von dem besagten Stück von Bob Dylan. It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding, 1965, von dem Album Bringing It All Back Home.
Darkness at the break of noon, shadows even the silver spoon, the handmade blade, the child's balloon, eclipses both the sun and moon, to understand you know too soon, there's no sense in trying. As pointed threats they bluff with scorn, the suicide remarks are torn from the fool's gold mouthpiece, the hollow horn plays wasted words, proves to warn that he not busy being born is busy dying. Temptation's page flies out the door, you follow, find yourself at war, watch waterfalls of pity roar, you feel to moan, but unlike before, you discover that you just be one more person crying. So don't fear if you hear a foreign sound to your ear.
That's why It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding, from Bob Dylan. So, I mean, it's early days yet, but do you plan to stay incorruptible in the sense of being true to yourself and being authentic and being sincere? And
yeah, I think it's very important as an artist just to do whatever comes out of you naturally. I'm not really sure where I'll be in the future, but I do just hope to just write songs that feel relevant to me at that time. And I don't know if that'll mean that they'll change at all, or it probably will, because I guess, you know, everyone changes and grows. So yeah, I'm kind of excited and interested to see where life will take me with my music.
And you obviously have an obvious passion for relatively melancholic music. I mean, because that seems to be more truthful, do you think, or...
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just what comes to me. Maybe that's where my sort of darkness comes out.
Right.
I'm quite a happy person most of the time these days. Maybe I wasn't when I was writing that album, but yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by maybe the darker things in life. Yeah.
Okay. Ja, sie sagt, dass die Musik, die sie macht, ist einfach instinktiv, es ist einfach ein natürlicher Prozess, es soll nicht erzwungen sein und sie will nur Songs schreiben, die für sie relevant sind. Und sie ist schon also ganz aufgeregt eigentlich und sehr zuversichtlich, was die Zukunft betrifft. Und sie mag zwar melancholische Musik tendenziell, das ist Musik, die sie natürlich schon, die sie jetzt ja leidenschaftlich, leidenschaftliche Beziehung dazu hat. Aber, und sie meinte, damit kriegt sie natürlich schon so einen Zugang zu ihrem so inneren Selbst. Also ganz, wenn sie wirklich ihr Innerstes nach außen kehren will, dann ist melancholische Musik ein gutes Medium dafür. Aber sie meinte, dass sie letztendlich eine relativ heitere Person ist. Sie ist oft sehr glücklich. Und es ist nicht, als ob sie dann depressiv ist. Aber die Menschen haben eben ihre zwei Seiten. Aber sie freut sich einfach irgendwie, was die Zukunft betrifft. Sie hofft, dass das alles so wird, wie sie sich das vorstellt. Well, thanks very much for coming on to talk to me. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And for playing those lovely songs live as well. And have a good time tonight.
Thanks, sure you will. Yeah, I'm sure I will.
And, yeah. And what do you want to hear to finish off?
Oh, one of mine or...?
Yeah, of course.
Let's put Timbuktu on.
Timbuktu, good choice. Okay. So we're hearing jetzt zum Schluss and song Ihre Wahl, jetzt Timbuktu, von dem Album A Golden Eagle von Holly McVie. Und das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.